Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jan Hook from PPF. On behalf of the company, I would like to welcome you to this conference call, where we are going to present and discuss the company's recent results. We will take you through the presentation that we are streaming on the link that you received as part of your connecting instructions. The slides are also available for download on the website of PPF Telecom Group, www.ppftelecom.eu, in the Investors section under the Financial Reports header. First of all, let me introduce today's speakers, who will be giving the presentation and who will be available to answer your questions after the presentation. It's Jan Tomaník, the Investment Manager of PPF Group, responsible for TMT sector, and Lukáš Kubeca, the Financial Manager of PPF Telecom Group. The main part of today's presentation will be an update on our operating and financial performance last year, followed by a Q&A session to answer questions that you might have. And now let me hand over to Jan Tomaník to commence the presentation.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your continued interest in PPF Telecom Group and for joining us today. As you know, last year wasn't just another year for us. It would be difficult to find one area that was not impacted by the pandemic. It affected our commercial activities, financial markets, as well as the life of our customers. We are actually pleased to present a set of results that demonstrate how resilient the performance of PPF Telecom Group's business is. And it is, of course, a direct consequence of how essential role the telecommunications industry plays nowadays. Our robust and secure infrastructure actually allowed millions of our customers in the Central and Eastern European region to continue working and studying remotely without those prior physical interactions. Last year, we managed to adapt to all COVID-related restrictions. To support our customers, we completed major internal restructuring projects that set foundation for further evolution of our business. And last but not least, we delivered satisfactory financial results, which we will review with you today. Before going into details of 2020, let me remind on slide 4 that it has already been almost 10 years since PPF Group started intensively focusing on the telecommunications industry. PPF Telecom Group, in its current shape, was put together by two major acquisitions. First, the acquisition of O2 completed in 2014, and second, the acquisition of Telenor C portfolio acquired in 2018. We also restructured the business when infrastructure network assets were spun off from commercial retail operations. First in Czechia in 2015, which was the first voluntary structural separation of that kind. Second in 2020, when we followed up and separated Telenor C mobile networks. As you can see on the bottom section of the slide, 2020 would have been a fairly busy year for us, even if there had not been the pandemic. Except business as usual, we focus on these three key areas. First, we worked further on our balance sheet. We continued issuing Eurobonds to refinance our bank loans. Operating companies O2 Czech Republic and CETIN also extended maturities of their debt. Second, we passed first batch of 5G auctions, which were held across western part of our footprint. Frequency auctions and prolongations are indeed strategy topic because it can serve as an entry point for newcomers to the market. We will thus share a specific update on this theme with you today. And third, in the first half of the year, we separated mobile networks from Telenor Hungary, Bulgaria and Serbia into newly established CETIN entities. During the second half of the year, we transferred the ownership in these to CETIN Group, which became new umbrella structure within PPF Telecom Group, which subconsolidates and manages our infrastructure businesses. Let me now deep dive into these three domains one by one on the following slides, together with hints on our financial results. Please follow me on slide 5. So firstly, the way how we operate was of course disrupted by the pandemic, but the structure of our markets and competition intensity on those remain, however, broadly intact. Our mobile customer base reached 18 million subscribers, counted together with M2M SIM cards. Number of higher ARPU generating postpaid subscribers grew by 1.3% year-on-year. In Czechia, Slovakia and Hungary, only established market players split key spectrum from 700 MHz band, which is key for countrywide and indoor 5G coverage. Neither a full-fledged operator with ambitions to build independent countrywide 5G network emerged in Czechia, nor Digi qualified to bid for 5G spectrum and for 2G spectrum renewal in Hungary. In Slovakia, small challenger number 4 operator, also called Štyřka, won only narrow additional spectrum. Share of its available bandwidth or on total bandwidth available to the established players was thus further marginalized. However, there is one caveat to this, which is fair to mention about the situation on Czech market. As per the auction rules, three newcomers, which also hold some spectrum in 3.5 or 3.7 GHz bands, became entitled for national roaming at regulated cost-oriented wholesale pricing. It is indeed very beneficial for them and largely unprecedented in EU. Moreover, one of those players can benefit from it retrospectively, although it actually did not win any spectrum in the latest auction, when this condition was introduced for the first time. And among others, these three reasons is why O2 keeps on legally challenging this situation. Soon after our new 5G spectrum awards were confirmed by those auctions, we also finalized selection of new radio access network equipment vendors. Ericsson technology will be deployed in Czechia and in Slovakia for 5G rollout, but also for swap and upgrade of all legacy RAN technologies. Second, we actually look at our last year's financial performance with overall satisfaction when COVID backdrop is taken into account. Revenues excluding Cetin wholesale international transit remained flat. COVID impact on some specific business streams, such as international roaming and negative FX translation effect from Czech crown and Hungarian forint weakening, were actually offset by continued moderate growth in the underlying service revenues. As we keep scrutinizing OPEX, and COVID also decreased transactions and helped some cost lines to go down, we managed to increase EBITDA by 2% in 2020. As for EBITDA breakdown by business units, if there had not been that local exchanges depreciation and also one of tax-related provision which we prudently booked in 2020, all our businesses would have posted either slower or faster, but still EBITDA growth. Third, concerning our balance sheet, PPF Telecom Group was active on the market through the year and we continued issuing new Eurobonds. In January, we tapped 100 million euro from our prior November 2019 issue. In May, as soon as financial markets started reopening after first wave of the pandemic, we placed benchmark size 500 million euro issuance with 4 years maturity and subsequently tapped additional 100 million from it in June. And last, in September, we emitted another benchmark size bond, this time at the other end of our yield curve with 7 years maturity, which is currently our longest tenor. Fourth, we delivered on that infrastructure separation project in Telenor CE countries, which we will cover in detail on the later slides. Slide 6 actually gives an update on the coronavirus situation. In April last year, we were happy to report to you that health and macroeconomic impact of the first COVID wave was milder in our CE region compared to Western Europe. And it is fair to openly admit now that at least with respect to the health impact, it has fully reversed since then. Czech Republic especially slid across the COVID ranking from the least affected in first half 2020 to the actually worst affected in H2 and also unfortunately in 2021 to date. Still, lockdowns in our countries were not tighter in second half of 2020 compared to first half. It is also visible from one-off spike in voice traffic in March last year, as you can see on the small chart in the left-hand top corner of the slide. Autumn wave of the pandemic is still clearly recognizable in elevated voice traffic volumes, but it is not as pronounced as in March. So after slightly lower GDP drop in Q2 in CE, it is expected to report similar macroeconomic contraction in H2 as the whole European Union. Facing record high new infected cases in the already fourth wave of the pandemic in Czech Republic, now driven by faster spreading British variant of the virus, Czech government had to recently impose the tightest lockdown so far. The impact of it on Czech economy will indeed yet to be seen. COVID statistics from Slovakia and Montenegro are also worrying, and the rest of our footprint currently stands more in line with Western Europe. A silver lining of the pandemic for us is actually a clear recognition of telecom sector as critical state infrastructure by the governments and authorities in our countries. Thanks to that, in most situations, our physical point of sales remained open. And in 2020, our networks, which we always try dimensioning with sufficient capacity buffer, withstood that unexpected test and operated uninterruptedly and without any material service quality degradation, even under that heavy load witnessed in March. High-level assessment of financial implications is shown in the left-hand bottom corner of the slide. Shortfall in the international roaming margin from weak or no summer tourist season, together with other smaller direct impacts, cost us approximately 2% of our EBITDA. Although we were ready to, we in the end fortunately didn't have to scale back on our investment priorities. And so far we haven't seen any deterioration in payment discipline of our customers, although it is clearly a factor that we keep watching for, since the economic aftermath of the pandemic may yet take its toll here. Slide 7 shall serve as that promised dedicated update on completed spectrum auctions. Last year in 2021 to date, we either paid or committed to pay in total 189 million euros for new, mostly 5G spectrum in Czechia, Slovakia, Hungary and Bulgaria. The most valuable pieces of this new spectrum were 2x10 MHz blocks in the 700 MHz band in Czechia and in Slovakia, and half of this bandwidth, 2x5 MHz in Hungary, which was also accompanied by 140 MHz C-band spectrum. Similar amount, 185 million euros, was committed for a renewal of original 2G spectrum licenses in 900 and 1800 MHz bands. It will be usable for 4G and 5G going forward as well. We were actually quite lucky to acquire wider spectrum block of 2x15 MHz in the 900 MHz band in Hungary in January this year. And it is a cover-up for smaller peer allocation in the 700 MHz band, which is putting us back on par with our competitors in terms of available spectrum across sub 1 GHz bands, those which are key for countrywide and for indoor coverage. In Bulgaria, where our Telenor Bulgaria, but also its competitors, have had to operate so far with significantly narrower bandwidth of spectrum available than in other countries, we managed securing in 2020 new spectrum of Earth in 2.1 and 2.6 gigahertz bands, and C-band auction in 3.5 to 3.7 gigahertz frequency ranges is pending these days. 5G auction is expected to be organized either later this year or next year in Serbia. And O2 Czech Republic will try to renew its license to original 3G spectrum in 2.1 GHz band this year. My next slide, number 8, is plotting our currently disponible spectrum. Let me just use this slide to emphasize that, except of small Montenegro, operators from PPS Telecom Group, whose spectrum is marked by dark blue rectangles, are either equally or even in some cases better equipped with spectrum than our local competitors. Next slide, number 9, covers in detail that already mentioned changes in Telenor's subsidiaries. As first phase of this complex project, mobile networks from Telenor in Hungary, Bulgaria and Serbia, comprising both passive towers and rooftops, as well as active radio access and transport networks, have been spun off into newly established certain network companies in July 2020. As second phase of the project during H2, we prepared and at the end of the year we executed the intragroup transfer of ownership in these newly established settings into Cetin Group. Cetin Group will become a subholding company of PPF Telecom Group. It will consolidate and manage our infrastructure businesses in 4 countries together with Czech Cetin that it has had originally. Our decision for creation of these new settings, which inherited mobile networks from Telenor's in CEE, was genuinely based on internal business logic of this transformation itself. We have been already extensively testing this operating model in Czechia for 5 years, and we became confident during this time that management specialization and strict focus on either telco infrastructure on one side and retail commercial activities on the other side actually make sense and value. Infrastructure divided from retail activities also facilitates its sharing or wholesale rental to third parties, which we believe will lead to its higher utilization in medium and in long run. Cetin Group, with its presence extended now from Czechia also to Hungary, Bulgaria and Serbia, is currently undergoing a broad strategic review. And subject to the outcome of such process, PPF Telecom Group may eventually also consider launching a process aimed at inviting minority infrastructure investors or public equity investors to Cetin Group's shareholder base. While this indeed remains just one of several possible options that strategy review may bring, and we made no advanced decision in that direction, in response to some early media speculation, PPF has actually confirmed that this option exists and that we may eventually offer minority in Cetin Group on public markets. But since this strategic review has by far not been finalized yet, and eventually broadening of Cetin Group shareholder base is really only one of the possible outcomes, we have no more details to share at this stage, and further discussion of this topic, also in the Q&A following our presentation, would be actually premature. Slide 10 summarizes KPIs per business units in this new organization structure of PPF Telecom Group. First of the three portfolio pillars, which is this newly established Cetin Group, we have already discussed. In all 4 countries where it is present, it includes mobile networks with full coverage and both towers as well as active radio network equipment and backhaul aggregation and backbone transport networks as well. In Czechia, Cetin, being former incumbent, also owns the most dense fiber-to-the-cabinet fixed broadband network, and it passes 85% of Czech households, approximately. For the second and third pillar, O2 Group and Telenor CEE, respectively, retail commercial KPIs are plotted. We keep number one position in terms of mobile revenue market shares in Bulgaria, Serbia, and Montenegro. We share number one, number two position in mobile in Czech Republic. We are number two in Hungary and number three in Slovakia, all as per third-party database that we follow for this purpose. Just to be clear, O2 Slovakia and Telenor Montenegro, the two smallest operators in our footprint with 2.2 and 300 million and 300,000 subscribers respectively, they have kept their respective mobile networks integrated within their retail organizations. My next slide, number 11, illustrates PPF Telecom Group's diversification from actually two points of view. First, geographically, as you can see in the pie chart in the left-hand top corner, Czech Republic contributed half of group's EBITDA in 2020. Slovakia additional 9 percentage points, while the remaining 41% was brought by Telenor CE countries. Second, contribution of those three pillars of PPF Telecom Group portfolio, where each delivered roughly one-third of the consolidated EBITDA. This is our measure on the basis of 2020 financial results, when settings in Hungary, Bulgaria, and Serbia actually existed and reported as separate segments only during second half of the year. As infrastructure business is not very much seasonal and EBITDA accrues more or less linearly through the year, rough pro forma estimate of full year contribution by these new settings can be annualized by doubling their EBITDA shares showed in the right-hand top corner. In each case, that increment for the first half of 2020 would come at the detriment of their respective Telenor CE counterpart. Slide 12 is detailing PPF Telecom Group's corporate structures from more legal perspective, including the overview of our financial debt. PPF Telecom Group's parent entity borrowed two-thirds of group's consolidated debt, and operating companies Czech Tetin, O2 Czech Republic, and to minor extent also Telenor Hungary, which financed its spectrum acquisitions, are liable for remaining one-third of the group's debt. On slide 13, we will briefly touch our more day-to-day so-called bread and butter business, which is ongoing service innovation, updates of our propositions to customers, and our achievements on the underlying retail telco markets. As for O2 Group, I believe it's fair to emphasize new digital and strictly self-care-only tariff plan introduced by O2 Slovakia. It is marketed under the alternative Radost sub-brand, which actually means joy in translation from Slovak. O2 TV in Czechia, it crossed 500,000 customers mark for the first time during 2020. And O2 Czech Republic also recorded success in commercializing further ancillary services to its mobile tariffs. So following the success of its handset insurance introduced earlier, it is now also penetrating its customer base with cybersecurity add-on service. Telenor CE operators, they focus on sales of handset insurance and mobile phone accessories, and their networks keep on scoring high in the independent third-party benchmark tests. Last but not least on this slide, we actually made progress in Serbia in the assessment and in our effort to become fixed mobile convergent and to bring FMC propositions. When we struck wholesale agreement with Telecom Serbia, which shall grant us access to their fixed fiber optics broadband network. For this agreement to become effective, it will yet have to be approved by local competition authority. Now let me just quickly flip to next five slides, which carry an update on our core business evolution in the format as you are used to. Looking at slide 14, changes worth mentioning that occurred on our markets in 2020 were following. First, it was indeed the creation of new settings in Hungary, Bulgaria, and Serbia by ourselves. Second, United Group completed the takeover of Rivacom, local incumbent in Bulgaria. And third, Vodafone separated its towers and rooftops to that newly created Vantage entity in Czechia and in Hungary. Fortunately, 5G auctions in Czechia, Slovakia and Hungary did not bring new players which could have reasonable ambition to become independent from network perspective on the established operators. The risk which is open in Czechia remains that, as I already mentioned, right of small players to get national roaming from the established operators. And what we also recently heard as a press speculation, that is that Czech government controls power utility CEZ, the one that originally considered participating in the auction but in the end didn't, is actually negotiating either a takeover or wholesale partnership with Czech Vodafone. We are indeed only sourcing that from public information and from press, so at this stage we also do not have more to share on this news. Mobile market revenue shares on slide 15. Generally, they are stable on five bigger markets of ours, excluding Montenegro, at least for the first three quarters of 2020, which is as far as analysis Mason data points are currently available. Slide 16 plots, again, a general stability in our subscriber base by country. Just for the first time this time, we also included machine-to-machine SIM cards as a separate low ARPU yielding category. For the Telenor CE countries as well, for the sake of better consistency with O2 groups reporting. Otherwise, no material changes on our markets, which are saturated from mobile penetration perspective, only low single percentage points increments to the share of contract subscribers from ongoing prepaid to postpaid migration, which is actually something that we try commercially driving as well. ARPU side of our mobile business on slide 17, growth in blended ARPU in Bulgaria and Serbia stemming from upselling from prepaid to postpaid, from growth in data penetration and from migration to bigger or even unlimited data packages. For Czechia and Hungary, momentum in ARPU in euro terms is indeed spoiled by that 3% and 8% depreciation of local currencies respectively. On like-for-like FX basis, well, blended ARPU curves for O2 Czech Republic and for Telenor Hungary would have been a little bit more skewing upwards as well. And last of my slide, number 18, it summarizes settings performance on fixed wholesale market and O2's performance on fixed retail market in the Czech Republic. As you can see on the chart in the left-hand top corner of the slide, Setin grew its wholesale fixed broadband base by more than 4% compared to 2019. It thus posted second consecutive year of renewed sustainable recovery in active usage of its FBB network. Just as a reminder, the trough in the number of active lines occurred in 2018, just south of 900,000 active lines. Setin has thus clearly benefited from that full fiber to the cabinet upgrade of its copper last mile network that it has been actually heavily investing into already since its establishment in 2015. It increased available internet speeds for 84% of its base to 50 megabits per second or more, and for 64% of its base to actually 100 megabits or more, which is combined with the stability of its connectivity, more than necessary for nowadays at-home usage of internet with all of that video streaming as well as video conferencing. As you can see from smaller shifts in speed tiers between 2019 and 2020, Cetin has already used up most of the commercial reasonable potential of the FTTC technology, actually. Going forward, it plans to redirect its investments into fixed network to upgrade it to FTTH selectively. And it already published its long-term goal to cover up to 1 million households with FTTH by 2030. O2's retail fixed broadband subscriber base in Czechia, which is connected either via Cetin lines or by home LTE or by wireless to the home broadband technologies, is also growing by more than 2% year over year. And as was already hinted in commercial achievements, O2's IPTV consistently enjoys the fastest momentum, having grown its viewers base by almost 20% to 530,000 active subscribers as of the end of 2020. Lukáš Kubesa, the group's financial manager, will now comment in greater detail on group's financials.
Good morning. Let me comment on our financial performance in 2020 on slide 19. Despite the challenging situation caused by COVID-19 pandemic and the negative foreign exchange rate development, on our reported consolidated revenue remained almost flat year over year. Excluding the FX impact coming from depreciation of Hungarian forint and Czech crown, the growth would be 3.1%. Domestic revenues, excluding low margin international transit, grew by 0.4% year over year. Growth in underlying retail service revenue, if we exclude the negative FX development, would be 3.5% year over year, despite a decrease in roaming revenue due to travel restrictions. In decline of roaming revenues, we see the biggest impact of current situation on our financials, but overall impact to the group profitability is not material. Roaming margin dropped by 50% year over year, but the negative impact on group EBITDA is only 2%. Roaming margin has now lower share in group's EBITDA compared to previous years due to implementation of roaming like at home regulation both in EU and within Western Balkan countries. Growing ARPU in almost all our markets is the key driver of the growth. We kept a solid pace of upselling our customers to higher tariffs and migrating them from prepaid to more valuable contract subscriptions. The increase of the fixed customer base in Czech Republic also contributed to the positive development. Hardware revenues remained broadly flat compared to the previous year. Consolidated EBITDA grew 2% year over year. Under stable FX rates, the growth would be even higher, around 5%. This growth is a combination of growth in service revenues and strict cost control. We have put in place several measures in respect of our cost base. We have introduced salary and hiring freeze. We have decreased marketing and advertising activities. Commission decreased naturally due to lower grosses during lockdowns. Further savings are coming from lower traveling costs and lower fuel and electricity prices. Total capex increased by 56%. The increase was fully in line with our plans, as the major part of this increase is attributable to the acquisition of 5G spectrum frequencies in the Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Hungary. Excluding spectrum cost, CapEx is higher by 19% on a year-over-year basis. This increase was driven by investment in the new TV platform, prolongation of O2 brand for next 15 years, and network investment in Tennessee countries. Investments in both network capacity increase and new functionality. We have not stopped or postponed any significant investment as a result of COVID-19 pandemic. Our cash flows were unaffected by the pandemic. Collection remains stable on pre-COVID levels, and we continue monitoring them closely. We did not see any significant increase in bad debt. Generally, we are not significantly exposed to small and medium companies' business. The investment in 5G spectrum resulted in free cash flow after lease payments lower by 20%. Excluding the spectrum payments, the free cash flow remained flat. On the next slide, the group credit metrics are plotted. The group's total financial debt has not changed significantly. What has changed meaningfully is the composition and its maturity. The nominal value of the outstanding principal, you can see that the vast majority of the financial debt is held at PPF Telecom Group level, in line with our financial policy. The term loans at PPF Telecom Group level related to the acquisition of Telenor subsidiaries in 2018, were gradually refinanced by Eurobonds issuances, diversifying the debt and extending its maturity. O2 term loan that was due later this year has been successfully refinanced, extending maturity until 2025. Telenor Hungary raised €100 amortizing term loan for the spectrum acquisition in April. Cetin secured in July a committed credit facility for its Eurobond that would be due in December 2021, effectively extending the maturity by another 2 years. Therefore, the group has no major debt maturing in next 2 years. The group retains a substantial amount of cash on its balance sheet, almost €800 million. PPF Telecom Group has paid a dividend last year in amount of €600 million to its majority shareholder. Despite the dividend payment and payment for 5G spectrum licenses, the closing cash position of the group remained at the same level as it was last year. The consolidated net leverage was below 2.6 multiple of EBITDA if we exclude the IFRS 16 impact. As you can see, we have a sufficient headroom between current leverage and our 3.2 multiple of EBITDA consolidated net leverage threshold. You can find a more detailed breakdown of the financial KPIs in the appendix of the presentation. Thank you, and let me hand over to Jan.
Ladies and gentlemen, on this, the company presentation ends, and we are now ready to take your questions. Operator, we are ready to take the first question.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. That's star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Alternatively, you can press the green flag icon on your web browser to ask a question. Our first question comes from Jonathan Scholler from UniCredit in Germany. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. I have a couple of questions. First of all, I'd like to hear about what you see in terms of developments of pricing that have gone on and whether the pandemic is having a negative impact on your ability to increase prices at the start of the year and what your expectation would be over the course of the year. A follow-on to that is whether you would expect 5G to have a positive impact on ARPU in this year, or is that more a story for coming years? Then I was wondering if you could provide any guidance on what you're expecting in terms of CapEx for the coming year, whether it be more or less than the levels that you reported for 2020, and to what extent your financial policy may be adjusted based on that, or should we assume that the dividends you paid in 2020 are a floor for the coming year. And then finally, I was interested in the fixed deal that you made with Telecom Serbia. Is this the beginning of any kind of change in strategy in the Telenor footprint to include more fixed services, or what exactly was this a unique opportunity in that particular country? Thanks.
Good morning, Jonathan. Thank you very much for your questions. I hope I noted all of those. So let's try to cover it one by one. With respect to the retail pricing, we haven't seen any changes that could be directly associated with the pandemic or the inability or unwillingness of our customers to pay equal or more for telecommunication services. In fact, naturally, telecommunication services are one of the most critical home utility that you need these days in the curfews and lockdown situations. So rather the other way around, if we weren't as socially responsible as we believe we are, there would have been a chance to charge for overage usage of mobile data or to migrate our customers across the data packages even faster. In fact, during the first wave of the pandemic and also going forward, we tried easing the situation to our customers and selectively we completely unlocked the data packages to our loyal customers from the postpaid segment. We temporarily granted them unlimited data buckets, and therefore we sort of voluntarily slowed down that upselling potential which the pandemic situation would have otherwise brought to us. And with respect to 5G and its potential impact on mobile services pricing, we have to start with from the 5G handsets penetration. They are the first ones available, but typically 5G starts penetrating into the handsets from the highest or the upper tier handsets, which may be fairly costly, and only the wealthier segment of our customers and business users can initially afford it. So 5G impact will be slowed down, as with any new generation of technologies, by handsets uptake. Second, it is a question on whether to attribute ongoing upselling to 5G specifically, but rather generally to ever-growing data consumption, since from user perspective, initially, 5G will be faster, more reliable, and with lower latency, but still data transfers, which our customers have already benefited on from 5G. So it remains a question mark, and we will follow individually the situation in our countries of presence on whether it would or would not be reasonable commercial strategy to apply some surcharges for 5G, or whether to possibly just continue in differentiating pricing per available mobile data throughput or by data packages. Indeed, 5G will facilitate that new uses of our mobile networks. However, I would assume any meaningful contribution only from the second half of the shell life of 5G itself. And where we plan using 5G actively, that will be possibly fixed wireless access while deploying the C-band spectrum that we have available already across more countries in our footprint. Third question, if I noted it well, that concern CAPEX and financial policy. So I would cover the second subpart of this third question on financial policy that remains unchanged and stable Generally, we do see some small increases in CapEx for build-out of 5G networks. So CapEx intensity increase in low single percentage points of our revenues for the next couple of years. But for sure, nothing that would make us to anyhow loosen our financial policy from how our rating agencies are regularly reviewing it with us. And last fourth question, it concerned fixed services, and possibly that's a follow-up question to that contract signed at the end of 2020 in Serbia. As you know, we acquired from Telenor Group businesses that were strictly mobile only. It was established in many cases number one, or in Hungary, for instance, number two mobile players on the market, but they weren't present in fixed. And what we have done since their acquisition, we consistently monitored the market and evaluated either acquisition opportunities or opportunities to lease fixed networks capacities from incumbents or from our competitors on one hand side. And on the other hand side, we are analyzing that option to use our mobile networks for home LTE, home 5G, or for that WTTX, wireless to the home technologies. In Serbia, we negotiated with both fixed network operators, and we were in the end more successful with former incumbent Telekom Serbia, and we managed entering into standard wholesale agreement with them. Indeed, the validity of it is conditioned by pending anti-monopoly approval. So I believe that is very much in line with what we have communicated with respect to our FMC, fixed mobile convergent considerations. We were able to reach this agreement that is worth emphasizing on this call in Serbia first. Jonathan, did this cover the questions, or do you have any follow-ups?
No, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Rick Malta from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. Thank you very much for the presentation. You actually touched on most of my questions already, but just maybe a clarification on CapEx. So we should basically assume at least a similar amount going out in CapEx also in 21-22. So maybe a clarification on that would be good. And secondly, I know you commented on the potential IPO setting, and clearly you won't be able to say too much about that. But just perhaps in terms of your leverage target, I mean, would it be then fair to assume that, you know, if you did proceed down a route of that nature, that you would then potentially adjust your leverage ceiling slightly lower, since from a creditor perspective, you would then have less exposure to your arguably highest quality assets. So maybe you can comment on how you might expect your financial policy to evolve if you did hypothetically pursue some sort of form of IPO in setting. Thank you.
So I would ask Lukáš to give you more details on CapEx intensity first, and I will then follow up with setting IPO.
Yes, regarding CapEx, as Jan mentioned, you can expect the next, let's say, 3-4 years slightly higher CapEx, because we are in front of RAN modernization, radio network modernization in countries where we acquired 5G spectrum. So in Czech Republic, in Slovakia, and in Hungary. So single percentage point increase in CapEx to revenue ratio could be expected?
And a follow-up to Cetin.
Yeah, continue, yeah.
So this is exactly an area for which we do not have a specific answers for at this stage, given how premature the leaks that we react to actually were. But we do bear current PPF Telecoms Group profile in mind, and we have started discussing the situation with our rating agencies as well, and we will be very mindful of any both quantitative as well as qualitative impacts that potential minority sale might have on PPF Telecoms Group credit profile. So I cannot give a response on whether we would anyhow specifically, quantitatively amend our financial policy when it happens, since we clearly lack many, many parameters which would need to be considered, and we will, if ever, get to those only later this year. But what I can assure you is that already now we are very, very mindful of the impact and the limitations that we have to operate in, and we are sticking to our financial policy and keep on reiterating it to rating agencies as well as to you as a framework in which we actually operate.
That's clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from Dalwer Frazi at Royal London Asset Management. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks very much for the call. Just two quick questions, please. The CapEx for 2020, that includes the spectrum and license costs, right? 186 million euros. That's the first question. Second question is, can you give us an update on the regulatory issues with the EU?
Possibly your line was off, but I assume regulatory implications of the European Union investigation over the network sharing?
That was the second question. First question was just about the CapEx. The 620 million euros for 2020 include the 186 euros that you've incurred on spectrum and licenses?
So let me start with the investigation by the European Commission. As we have informed on our semi-annual call, oral hearing was held in September when not only Cetin, NO2, but also T-Mobile, whom we are jointly defending with, have presented their views on why actually any regulation or stricter remedies would be against the best interest of the European Commission in respect of fast 5G rollout and technology innovation. At least how we perceive it, we were fairly successful in passing our point of view and our arguments. And since then, some very preliminary discussions have been held with the European Commission representatives on how the situation could be remedied. We do not have conclusions, but we are openly communicating, and we try seeking consensus with the European Commission in terms of how this case could be closed. In any case, as we are now already in the 5G era, not anymore 4G era when this case was opened. We are getting to the stage what we were from the beginning mindful and what we were warning European Commission about, that imposing any strict limitations or remedies would be actually highly detrimental for fast 5G rollout, which needs to be shared between the players across European countries to be effective. I'm sorry for the background noise, that's a regular monthly test of alarms in Czech Republic. Lukáš, would you take the CAPEX question?
Yes, yes. Regarding CAPEX, our reported CAPEX of roughly 600 million euro includes the spectrum which was acquired this year. So new spectrum in Czech Republic, Slovakia and Hungary. In total, 186 million euro. And it's plotted the split on slide 19. So we can see.
Thanks very much for that, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Ivo from Rothstein Bank International. Your line is now open.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. It's Ivo Božić from Raiffeisen Bank International. Jan and Lukáš, thank you very much for this very interesting presentation, and congratulations to you on outstanding results. I would like to ask a few questions regarding retail and infrastructure split within PPF Telecom Group. So my first question would be, can you maybe explain in a bit more details or to provide a bit more of your rationale why there was no split between retail and infrastructure assets in Slovakia and Montenegro? I know that you touched upon this topic when commented that Slovakia and Montenegro are rather smaller countries in terms of your operations, but would like to get some additional granularity here. And second question would be in relation to network sharing opportunities you mentioned for Telenor for ex-Telenor infrastructure assets, meaning now setting infrastructure assets in CE. Are there already some contracts that have been signed? Or what is the current situation there? Because, I mean, for example, in the Czech Republic, this is functioning really well. And my third and last question would be about this potential sale of stake in Cetin Group. So what is the idea, of course, if you are willing to comment and able to comment on that, what is the idea to use funds received from this sale for, or how do you plan to utilize the funds? And many thanks.
Thank you much for your three questions towards Cetin Group. So starting with the first question on why O2 Slovakia and Telenor Montenegro kept their infrastructure, I can just reiterate the single most important reason, that these are smaller operations of ours. With Montenegro, it is compared to other countries, indeed, a very small country, likewise smaller organization from both personal aspect as well as network perspective. So indeed, network separation brings some additional complexity, and we have made an assessment that bringing that complexity to the two smallest operations of ours at this stage would not actually outweigh the benefit of having the infrastructure held separately. With O2 Slovakia, there is one additional reason worth mentioning. As you know, it is the sole operator which occupies number three position on our market, on the market across our footprint. And it was actually late entrant into mobile industry compared to the older established Slovak Telecom and Orange. It entered the market in around 2006, 2007, and 2008, and has built out an independent network since then, but it kept on extending its coverage, building new sites, and gradually diminishing the reliance on the national roaming that it has originally used for countrywide coverage. And that network build-out continued until very recently and is actually still continuing. So in that situation, there was another aspect contributing to the decision that it was not worth at this stage splitting the network from it. And in that stage of advancement, we see more beneficial of that keeping and controlling its own infrastructure in-house in close links with the mobile retail business. As for the third-party relations across Telenor settings, as you can imagine, they overwhelmingly serve their commercial companies. They inherited the wholesale relations that have been done beforehand between operators, which is that bi-party or multi-party collocation of BTSs across the site. So those relations have been taken over by settings which demerged from Telenor's, but these aren't any strictly institutionalized sharing relations or collocations in most cases. In Hungary, as you know, we have had that 4G sharing, which, however, wasn't as broad as we have had with T-Mobile in Czech Republic through Czech setting. So we are going to work in this area and eventually take the opportunities how mobile infrastructure of these new settings can be better utilized going forward for other market players as well. In Czech setting, and this is specific to it, and it was one of the main drivers of the separation of it in 2015, we are granting open access on undiscriminatory basis to the fixed network. And it is worth mentioning in that respect that since establishment of Setin, share of our customers, T-Mobile, Vodafone, but also of smaller local or regional players on Setin's active fixed broadband lines have been growing over past 5 years. So there, the undiscriminatory access of to Setin's network and its fair approach towards the market is proved, and it actually is beneficial for it since part of that growth that we reported in active lines of Setin since that bottom in mid of 2018 has actually been delivered by our third-party wholesale customers. And the last question that was already a very specific one, which is actually the one that I wanted to discourage you from asking, since we do not have answers for it, but reiterating that any use of disposal proceeds, and again, let me stress, we are talking about hypothetical situation only, will always be considered in a context of our financial policy that we stick to.
Okay, many thanks for your answers.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Tobias from MEAG. Go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking my question and congratulations to the resilient results. So a part of my question was already answered when Rick asked his question about the Cetin IPO. My question goes a bit further and it relates to the overall group structure of PPF. Could you kindly comment on anything that you can share and with the other transactions that are going on within the group? So especially in the banking side with Moneta, and how this could potentially affect the credit profile of PPF Telecom. So is there any event where you could foresee a change of the funding of the group and that money from PPF Telecom could be upstream to other entities to fund those transactions? And I appreciate there are some things you can't comment because they are private, but if you could just focus on the things that you can share and maybe also what it would mean to the change of the credit profile and especially if there would be a change of net leverage.
Thank you for that question. We included one slide with update on PPF Telecom Group into the appendix on the presentation, so it's actually slide number 24, but it indeed doesn't bring answers to your very specific and targeted question. So first, let me remind how PPF Group itself is structured. It actually has four fairly independent pillars in its portfolio. So telecommunications that we are discussing and that PPF Telecom Group is an essential part of is one independent pillar. Second would be CME, our TV broadcasting and digital business that we acquired in 2019. And we completed the acquisition last year in fourth quarter. That would be a second independent pillar. Fourth one would be real estate business that we have in more jurisdiction. And the third one, financial services pillar. That is actually one that you are asking for. And it is very independently managed from not only telecommunications, but from other three pillars. So personally, all I know about Moneta transaction is actually what I can read from public sources, as you do. And there wasn't any discussion with PPF Telecom Group with respect to how it would affect it, since given the independence of the pillars, it really won't. The most important relationship that you see from PPF Telecom Group perspective towards PPF Group as such, leaving the selected operating synergies that we continuously explore across the business streams is indeed the dividend streams, which, however, will not be anyhow affected by that transaction. And to the extent I understand it from public sources, the Moneta voluntary offer and the proposals made towards it more concern the merger or amalgamation of that Czech bank together with our financial services operations in Czech Republic. Last, which I would add, our financial services industry, it is a business that is overseen by the financial regulators, so it enhances that independence from PPF Group and from other PPF portfolio pillars even to a stronger extent. So to summarize that long answer, nothing that this other transactions of PPF Group could actually cause to PPF Telecom Group and its financial policy. There is great degree of independence between those pillars.
Great, thanks for the color. And would it also mean that your net leverage ceiling of 3.2 times for the time being, also considering the Citin IPO, would remain in place?
There is no link between our financial policy and Moneta or any other transactions of PPF Group. That's one statement I can make. And with respect to the impact of hypothetical Citin Group minority sale, and our financial policy, I hope to have given already as much color as I could. So we are very much mindful of the limitations, and we are seriously taking that constraints into account, as well as the opinions of all our three rating agencies that they could have on the impact of that hypothetical sale and the user proceeds from it.
Thanks for the color.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That's all the questions. I'd now like to hand over to the management team for their closing remarks.
Thank you. This is Jan Hook again. As we have no more questions, all that is left for me is to thank you all for attending today's call. And if you still have any follow-up questions, you are welcome to contact our investor relations, and we will be happy to oblige as usual. And now, on behalf of the company, I would like to terminate today's call. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you very much for your questions. Goodbye.